Hey, everybody, really special guest this week. Before we get to that, this weekend, January 24th to the 26th, I'm going to be in Edmonton, Canada at the Comic Strip Comedy Club. If you're in the area, come on out. Go online to get tickets. Comic Strip Comedy Club, Edmonton, Canada, Friday through Sunday. Where, by the way, in Edmonton right now, it is, as we speak, minus 16 degrees. And people go like, well, you know, minus 16 degrees, that's not so bad. Is it Fahrenheit or Celsius? It doesn't matter. It's minus 16 degrees. My guest is Tim Robbins this week. Really, really special guest to me. I've been a huge fan and admirer of his for a long time. He's got iconic movies out. And a lot of times he uses films and his art to make statements. And this is no different. He's got a new play out that he talks about as well as his career. So enjoy Tim Robbins and hope to see you in Edmonton this weekend. If you don't live there, fly up there. It's the least you could do for me. My guest this week, someone I'm very excited to speak with and has a terrific new project out. Tim Robbins, Oscar-winning actor. You've known from The Shawshank Redemption, Bull Durham, Mystic River. It seems ridiculous. I even have to say movie names because everybody knows your work. It's great to have you on the show, Tim.
It's a pleasure to be on.
So, you know, your theater company, The Actors Gang, and you were have a North American tour going on of The New Colossus, which is this really interesting, unique play that you're putting on that tells a story, true stories of 12 refugees from 12 different time periods fleeing from violence, oppression, and, you know, and a journey toward freedom. There's so many interesting questions I have about this. These are actual stories from the cast members. How did you cast this? How did you find these actors with these stories? That must have been a bit of a chore.
Well, actually, it wasn't. You know, we have a theater company. We have a group, an ensemble group. So we have people that are with us for years. Mm-hmm. And I had been working with a couple of these people for a couple of years, and I just loved them as actors, but English was a second language for a few of them. And so I asked them to start speaking in their own tongue, their native tongue. And I saw some extraordinary things started to happen. And so I wanted to develop a piece with them. And so I asked them, I took 12 actors and I asked them to research their own story, the story of their parents or grandparents or ancestors, movement on the earth from oppression to freedom. And incredible stories started to emerge. And I started to realize there are so many of these stories in the United States that are untold. Mm. So many stories. Mm. If you think about it, part of the character of who we are as a people is exactly that, is this idea that we're descended from people that said, no, I will not tolerate this situation I'm living in. Mm. Whether it was a religious oppression in the 17th century with our first migrants, or whether it was Nazism or communism or fascism that we were in Europe in the 20th century, that people said, no, I will not tolerate this. I will risk my life to find a better life.
Yeah.
Think about that. Those that made that decision are in our DNA. The people that said, you know what, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with communism. I'm cool with, you know, being a fascist. Mm. They're not in our DNA.
Right. Right.
Then you have these people that made that decision, that had the courage to make that decision, risking their life. Then had the physical tenacity to survive the journey where a lot of people died. The people that died, they're not in our DNA. The people that made it, they're in our DNA.
Yeah.
Then, after this journey, landing with nothing, not even speaking the language, somehow survived, got work, worked hard, created a future for their family. And then 3-4 generations later, we get to tell their story. Hmm. If you think about it, that thing that unites us, that thing in our DNA, that's extraordinary. That's mythic. That's the hero's journey. And so part of the reason I wanted to do New Colossus was to remind us all of that, to be proud of that, and to look at these people, these new migrants, these new refugees that are coming into our country, not as people that are trying to take something from us, but are exactly who we are. These are people who remind us of what our story is.
Yeah.
That courage that it took to get out of there and to start a new life.
Yeah.
Now, of course, when I, you know, when we do the show, I come out at the end and I talk to the audience and I ask, you know, where people are from. But the first thing I ask is, are how many people are of indigenous blood? And we, you know, some people raise their hands and I ask them what nation, you know, and they share. And then I ask how many people were brought here or descended from people that were brought here against their will. And African Americans raise their hand. I ask, from where do you know? Most don't, which is a great sin that we committed as a country.
Yeah.
To eliminate the culture and memory of a people. And then I ask, are there any immigrants or refugees in the audience? And hands come up and I ask, from where and what year? And then I ask, sons or daughters of immigrants or refugees? More hands come up. Grandsons, granddaughters of immigrants, refugees, more hands come up. Great-grandsons, great-granddaughters, immigrants, or refugees, more hands come up. Before you know it, the whole audience is raising their hand. And this is a reminder. This is who we are.
Yeah.
Now, why have we gotten to a situation where we think about the other as a threat? The other is us.
Yes.
That's who we are.
Yeah. I think it's out of fear. I do think that, you know, when people don't understand another person or another culture, you know, I do stand up and I talk about this in my act too. It's sort of like, I think rather than open up to try to understand something that you don't understand, it's safer to find a group that's like you and then turn inward as opposed to having the courage to go, I don't understand it, but I'm going to try. And we're in a culture now that, God forbid, that I have a political opinion or a social opinion that is different from yours, I'm the devil. We're in a very bad place. And I think that this is
a very
important piece you're doing. And the other thing that, you know, I have goosebumps you talking about this because I'm actually doing a show that we'll talk about that in a second. But my grandparents came here from Italy on both sides of my parents, and they did not. They weren't fleeing political oppression, but in a way, economic oppression. They wanted a better life for themselves. And I think humility is a big part of that journey for any of these people you're talking about, because, you know, one of my grandfathers was a very pretty well off in Italy and in his own town was a politician and held a seat on city council. He came to America. He was a janitor at a hospital for most of his life here. But he was okay with that because he had a bigger picture in mind for himself and his family. And that should be celebrated because I think humility is something that's lacking more and more in our society as well.
Yes, I totally agree. You know, I look at our ancestors as heroes. I do. I feel like, you know, and that's a pretty common story. I've heard stories of people that got out of Iran in 1979 who were medical doctors. And worked as cab driver in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know, the humility that takes, but also, you know, part of the whole problem here is that it's not really in our hearts. It's not a natural inclination to hate. It isn't.
Right. Right.
It's a natural inclination to help. What happens is there's people that keep their power, politicians usually, that cynically use the other as a means to get votes.
Yep.
It's historically been the case. I mean, it was the Italians or it was the Irish, you know, they're going to steal your jobs.
Right.
You remember that?
The Irish need not apply. I mean, it's true. You know, I had a guest on my show. His name is Christian Piccolini and, they did a special on him on MSNBC called Breaking Hate. And at 14, he was recruited in Chicago to be a member of a skinhead gang. And by 16, he was running the biggest skinhead gang in Chicago. And I asked him a question I always wanted to ask, which is, how do they get you? And he said, I was alone in a hanging out in an alleyway, about to light up a joint. A guy comes up to me, grabs a joint. He goes, "What's your name?" Picciolini. He goes, "Oh, Italians, you people are a good name." And I was I felt very alone, very isolated. My parents were working all the time, and they make you part of their group, and they prey on your emotional isolationism. And then from that, they get you to do whatever they want you to do. And it's a very powerful tool. And I think that, you know, as you say, like, it's not in our nature to hate. And maybe I'm just throwing this out there, but maybe, is it that there are these people that just feel alone? And then when they find what they think are like-minded people, they cling to that because that's all they have in their life. Could that be possibly it? I don't know.
I think it has something to do with it. We are 20th century in particular, we moved away from being a culture of family into, you know, an industrial culture where families are separated and you don't have a family around you anymore.
Yeah.
And part of what I think these nativist groups appeal to is that sense of isolation and that fear.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, you know, that's a great story. And I know about that guy. And it's, you know, this is where I want to live. I want to live in the hope that there is unity ahead, because I think you're right. I think we're in a terrible, terrible situation right now.
I hope it swings back.
There's so much division. There's so much canceling. There's so many hateful things being said.
Yeah.
And what gives me hope is that, you know, I work in prison out in the state of California. And we have 15 programs in 13 prisons. When we go in and we ask for the worst of the worst, we want people that are enemies. We want rival gangs. We want every group that we work with to be diverse racially.
Mm-hmm.
In prison, everything's segregated. Nobody mixes. It's a safety issue. But we want them in the room together. And what we see happen on a regular basis is people finding a way to get out of their hatred and into a unity, because not only are they inclined towards that, it's such a big hassle to have to live in hatred every day just simply because someone's skin color is different from you. It's actually super dangerous to live in that kind of environment. And so they're looking for a way, and they embrace it. And 2 weeks ago, I was in Avenal prison watching a group of incarcerated men perform a play. And after the play, these two guys, one of our guys, we employ formerly incarcerated men and women to help us teach inside the prisons. And I saw one of our guys and one of the guys that had just been in the play. And they're standing around and they're laughing, they're joking, they're hugging. And another of our formerly incarcerated teachers comes up to me and says, "Let me tell you a story. Look at those two guys. 10 years ago, he says, remember that, you know, that scar on Jay's face? That guy gave it to him 10 years ago.
Wow.
They were in a knife fight.
Wow.
That's been healed. That's gone forever.
But that's like, you know, we need more people like you. I mean, I think it's really important that people get this, you know. I mean, this really resonates with me. I've been doing a one-man show here in New York. It's called Permission to Speak. And basically what I found in going around the country performing is that everybody has a story. And you talk about this regarding New Colossus. And I feel like these stories need to be told. Now, my point of view on this is not yours in terms of the, you know, the refugees and where they came from, but just that generally people have these fascinating, interesting stories. And if we talk, we connect. And if we connect, maybe things aren't so divisive. And Frank Oz has been working with me as a director and creative consultant on it. And what we do is I just improvisationally bring people on stage and talk to them about their lives. And to a man, everybody comes up and went out with an amazing story. And the idea is that I want those people in that audience who don't know each other by the end of that show to maybe make a connection in some way. And you can make a connection by capital C connection, you know, like, oh, I relate to that. I was divorced and I went through that same thing. Or, you know, I don't really understand or didn't understand that world, but now I do. Like, I had a transgender person on stage for 20, 25 minutes. Fascinating story, transitioning, 22 years old, transitioning to being a woman and, I'm sorry, a man. And at one point I said, really sweet, father was with her. And I said, when did you tell your parents that you were maybe proud, you know, not sure of your gender? She said, well, I don't remember. I said, why? She said, well, I'm bipolar and I had 3 electroshock treatments, so I have trouble remembering stuff. But then the story ended great. She just graduated San Diego State, and people, she was the star of the show. People went up after her and talked to her for quite a while. And some people came up to me and said, thank you for doing that, because I didn't understand what these people go through, and now I do. And it's just been one of the most rewarding things I've done as a performer. And I think it's really important, because it's really bad out there. And I mean, the message of the show is, hey, we're all kind of a little screwed up. We're all living in this nuance in the gray area. And, you know, we're nameless and faceless to each other. But know when you walk by somebody that there's a story behind that face, and it might be your story. And I think what you're doing is really important. And that you said it to music and poetry. I know we have to jump in a second, but, and I know music is a big part of your life, and your dad was a member of the Highwaymen, and it's been a big influence in your life in general. Why did you decide to use music and poetry and kinetic movement to tell this story?
Well, it's live. I always use music in the theater that I do. It's an emotional connection. Music, it really helps with that. We have a cellist and a percussionist that travel with us. But just to add to what you were saying about the transgender youth and that experience, listen, you know, what an extraordinary opportunity we have as performers or creators of pieces that we're going to perform, to be able to be in an audience. A lot of us go to movies and stuff, but an audience that actually experiences something together is an extraordinary opportunity. In a live theater or a live stand-up, this idea that we're going to be a community for the next 2 hours. These complete strangers, many different walks of life, are going to be sitting together in a dark room, and they're going to experience emotion together. They're going to experience a story together. They're going to laugh together. They might cry together. They might be enemies on the outside, but we get the opportunity to take them to a common place. And what the new Colossus is a reminder that we have so much more that unites us than divides us. And it's really the cynicism of politicians is driving that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's division, it's hatred. It's hard to hate. It's very difficult. It takes a lot of energy. Yeah. And it's not productive. And by the way, not healthy.
It really,
people that hate die earlier.
Yes.
It's the terrible energy that you're putting in your body. Yeah. But then to sit in an audience and share something with someone, and then realize you have a commonality. Mm-hmm. And then to hear them start to tell their stories when they stand up and start to testify at the end of the show, which I ask the audience to do.
Which I think is great.
Tell me the story of your ancestors.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. And this woman stands up. She says, listen, I'm going to tell you the story about a soldier. This soldier, American soldier, liberating concentration camp, Buchenwald, sees this woman start to fall. She's one of the people that had been almost starved to death by the Nazis. He starts to run to her. His sergeant says, stand down, soldier. We're not doing that. He disobeys his sergeant, gets to this woman before she falls, carries her in his arms to the medic, gets in trouble for disobeying his sergeant. Then when he's out of trouble, goes and visits this woman in the field hospital. This woman says to me outside the theater, that was my mother and my father.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Another person says, let me tell you about my grandmother. 8 years old, lands in New York City, doesn't speak the language, has no money, 8 years old. All she has is a photograph of a relative that lives in New York City. She finds her. 8 years old. That's my grandmother.
Incredible.
Traveled over the ocean alone, lands in New York City alone with a photograph. And you think about that. That's incredible.
At that age.
We should be celebrating this. We should be celebrating that 8-year-old girl. Mm. It's because of that 8-year-old girl that we're alive today.
Yeah, and you know, you've got these leaders, and this leader in particular we have now, who's just, you know, sowing hate so that it consolidates his power. It's just one person's narcissism that's driving a very cancerous environment in the country. And I'm really concerned, and I think it's what you're doing is really important, because we got to find people who are going to help the pendulum swing back to some level of civility and get away from this cynicism. It's really, really bad. And I have a kid and you have kids, and it's like, this is not the environment that kids in their formidable years should be growing up in. It's really toxic. And, you know, you said, and I'm quoting you, the Actors Gang felt compelled to respond to the government's anti-refugee, anti-immigration policies and tell stories that draws attention to the true nature of people that live in this country. That's really incredible and important. And, you know, I think that, you know, any way you can do that, and especially, you know, with somebody with your influence and history and look, I believe, and maybe I'm crazy here, but you grew up sort of in the 60s, and I feel like you've
always had a social consciousness to what you do. And do you think that's a result of growing up in the 60s?
I'm not sure. There's a lot of people that grew up in the 60s that have absolutely no I'll give my parents the credit. They were extraordinary people, and they my dad was a folk singer. We were growing up at the time in you know, West Covina, California, and my dad took a trip to New York City, saw Greenwich Village, had his guitar with him, and said, called my mother and said, pack the kids into the car. We're moving here.
Wow.
This is where we're going to live.
Amazing.
And my mom came and saw it, and she said, yes, absolutely. This is where we're going to live. They were Catholics, with a strong moral core, but they also were progressive. And I remember very clearly my mom waking me up one morning with the news about Martin Luther King and tears in her eyes. And they knew. And another time my mom woke me up in the morning. She says, I want you to be very proud of your older sister. She just got arrested last night in Vietnam War.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, listen, I know you got to jump. I could talk to you forever, and maybe sometime we could talk some more. It's the play is The New Colossus. People can see it all over the country. Where can they go to get the schedule for this?
The www.theactorsgang.com. We're going to be in Nashville, Schenectady, Iowa City, Durango, Seattle, Folsom, Charlotte, North Carolina is where we start.
All right.
In 2 weeks.
All right. Well, I'm going to come see it when it comes to New York. It's great to have you on, Tim Robbins. Congratulations on all of your work and this important thing that you're doing now. It's The New Colossus. It's on a North American tour. Go see it. And good luck with everything.
Thanks very much. Look forward to seeing everybody at the theater.
All right. There you go. Tim Robbins. Really, really great to have him on the show. Just a reminder, this weekend, 24th to the 26th, Friday through Sunday, I will be at the Comic Strip Comedy Club in Edmonton, Canada. Come on out. It is minus 16 degrees there, so you might want to bring a hand warmer or 200 of them. Have a great week, everybody.